Praise God. It's another good morning God has given us to listen to His word. And I pray that God is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. We have been in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the key things that we've been focusing on is about this aspect of spiritual warfare. And, you know, just to understand the place of warfare, the place that a believer needs to stand, the place where he needs to be established, it is important that we know what God has done for us through Christ. God was very keen to accomplish everything that we need through Christ Jesus. Christ is the fulfillment of every promise of God. Jesus Christ was God in a man, the Son of Man, the Son of God was God in flesh. And when he came as the second Adam, he's either called the second Adam or the last Adam, he came to fulfill that which the first Adam could not fulfill. We know that when the first Adam came, God wanted to fulfill his purposes, to made in his image and likeness. But you see, Adam did not fully obey. Adam and Eve, when they fell, they lost their authority. They lost the kingdom. God had wanted man to have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish, over every living, creeping thing, over the created works of God. Man was supposed to stand in the place as the guardian of this realm. You see, everything that God created has realms and has a guardian. And when you think of the heavens, God is there. He is the guardian of the heavens. And the earth, he made man the guardian of the earth. But you see, when Satan rebelled, and he and his angels, the third and the angels, and there was no place found of them for them in heaven, they were cast down to the earth. And the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the Satan cometh, and he is full of rage and full of wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So we know that he comes in, that great dragon, he's full of wrath. And he came in as a serpent in the garden, but we see in the book of Revelation, he becomes a dragon. Why? Because he knows his time is short. He knows that he needs to destroy these beings that are made in the image and likeness of God. So we as creatures that are made to host the presence of God, that is why we are eternal enemies of the devil, because for him, he wanted to be like God. He said, I will ascend the throne of God and to be like God and to sit at his throne. Then God makes we human beings like him. The Bible says to teach principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God through the church. So it is a wisdom of God, and that is why we are in constant battle with the forces of darkness. We are in constant battle with the works of the enemy. And you must always know that any time that you have crossed over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by the Christ, by what Christ has done, then automatically you become an enemy of the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness will not just stand there and watch you leave them or watch you have influence. And that is why it is a warfare. And that's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness, you know, and in heavenly places, rulers of darkness of this age, we wrestle. That means there is a warfare. And the sad thing is, you cannot be ignorant about this warfare. If you're ignorant, you're going to be fodder. You're going to be chewed. If you're ignorant, you're going to suffer the fate of the ignorant. And the fate of the ignorant is that they are abused, they are harassed, they are tormented. And yes, you are a Christian, but unless you know what Christ has done for you, unless you know what victory God has accomplished, unless you know the position that God has given you, the authority that God has given you, you shall not be able to lay a claim over the promises of God, over the protection of God. You will not be able to take a stand against the wiles of the enemy. And what we are able to establish is that Paul teaches the church that what the devil is now left with for the believer is trickery, methodoia, the wiles of the devil, that he was stripped of his power. The Bible says Christ made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them over the cross, and he took every legality that was laid against you and he nailed it to the cross. So anything that the enemy will want to bring as a legality against each and every one of us for our past was nailed to the cross, and Christ died for us once and for all, that if we put our faith in him, if we look into him, then we know that we are forgiven, we are sheltered. The reason that we can stand in truth, the reason that we can stand and fight, the reason that we can be know that we are fighting from victory is because we know that Christ has already won this battle for us. It's just like watching a game and you're trying to watch the highlights. You can already know the scores. No matter how difficult it looks, you know the final outcome. My brothers and sisters, we that are in Christ, we know our final outcome. We know that we win. The battle may rage on from day to day. It might rage on, but at the end of the day, we win. So when we understand, when we are not ignorant of the enemy, we are not ignorant that he will struggle to exercise his authority, his power. Actually, the devil does not have authority, because authority is a legal matter. He has power. Power is gift-based. Power is what he had, what he was given. But authority is the legal matter. So the enemy looks for legal grounds to exercise his power over us. And that is why the Bible commands us to not give a place to the devil. Do not give him a foothold. Do not give him an entry point. When you do so, you give him a legal ground by which he can be able to place an attack. Legal grounds are many. It could be culture. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be, you know, adultery. It could be our eyes, how we, whatever we look, whatever immoral things that we allow. Whenever we give the devil a foothold, he does not just take a foothold, he enters and he takes possession. Demons are controlling beings. They don't want just to harass, but they want to torment, they want to compel, they want to drive. Think of that madman of Gadarenes. He was driven to the tombs from time to time and he stayed there naked, and they tried to tie him up, but he could not tie him up. He was put in chains, but he cut them. He spent his time, you know, in those rocks, cutting himself and crying and wailing until Jesus has to come. You see, Jesus was on the other side of the lake, but he says, let us go to the other side of the lake. He knows he wants to rescue one man who is a madman, but that madman is a missionary. Because that madman is the one who went back to his home when Christ rescues him. He goes back to his home and he tells the whole city what Christ has done for him, what Jesus has done for him. You see, some of the greatest battles that you face point towards the kind of throne or the kind of authority that God has given you. God weighs us before he brings battles to us. In fact, he says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful to provide a way that you can be able to stand up under it. One of the measures that you can use to know what authority God has placed in your life is to see what battles that come your way and what happens to the kingdom of darkness when you step in. Jesus just came across the lake and immediately the man of Gadarenes met him. Actually, even before that, the demons tried to drown Jesus and his disciples. They sent a wave, you know, and the boat was filling up and Jesus was sleeping. Yes, why was he sleeping? because he knows he has the authority. And when they wake him up, they say, "Master, Master, don't you care that we shall drown?" And Jesus tells them, wakes up, calms the storm, and asks them, "Where is your faith?" So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And even today, as you hear the word of God, you receive faith to be able to know your place, to be able to know your authority as a Christian, to know what Christ has done, to know the reason why you need to take a stand. That's what the Bible says, verse 13, Ephesians 6:13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then he says, "Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, just, you know, at times it's good to just pause on some words. And I just wanted to just look at this word, to stand. And you know, at times you can just think of it, what does it mean, just to stand? I mean, it's simple, just to stand. But when you go back to the root, you will understand that the word there is histemi. And that histemi word means to cause or make to stand, to place, to put, to set. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's not actually you that really decides to stand. It's God that sets you up. It's God that puts you up to stand. It's God that establishes you as a kingdom agent. You see, when God has built you up, when you have fully understood your place in Christ, in fact, no one should start ministry before fully understanding their position in Christ, before fully knowing what God has done, before fully understanding the finished works of Christ, what God has done for them in righteousness, what God has done for them in justification, what God is doing for them in sanctification day to day. When you fully understand who you are and what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, and how of the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery of our union, koinonia with God, then you can be set up to stand. You see, no one stands on their own. In fact, when God now sends you to the nations, when God sends you to a city, when God sends you to your people, to the marketplace, it is He that causes you to stand and causes you to be set up. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are a lamp that no one lights a lamp and puts it under the bed, but he places it on a lampstand. That's why the Bible tells us you are the light of the world. God puts you up to light up the darkness. You see, no matter how small the light is, it has the capacity, it has the ability to chase away darkness. So standing, after you've done everything else, stand. And stand then, put on the full armor of God, you know, with your loins guarded with the truth, the belt of truth. That standing is actually to be caused to stand up. It's now to ask God, "God, now that you've raised me up, you've given me your power, you've given me your authority, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Now where is it that you want me to be set up?" That word stand also means to be appointed. You know, it is like you have been appointed by God. You have been established. You've been caused to be a kingdom agent. And I tell you, anyone that understands the kingdom of God, that understands that God wants to establish his throne, the glory of the Lord shall be filling the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. About the kingdom of God that was cut, the rock that was cut, not by human hands, that struck the statue at the foot, and that rock grew and filled the entire earth. That is the kingdom of God growing. The kingdom of God is that little yeast that works its way in the dough until it fills the entire dough, until the entire cake is filled up. We are those agents that are supposed to influence the world around us, but we don't do it on our own capacity. It is because we are caused to stand. God makes us to stand. And that is to tell you that God carries you. One of the things that you will love about God, it is God who wills in us to cause us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. You think you are smart because you are just smart. No, God made you smart for his glory. You think you've risen to that position because, oh, you've been the smartest, you've been the greatest schemer. No, it is because God has caused you. You think you are in a good marriage just because you know how to woo someone. No, it is God that has caused you to be there. It is God that helps us to stand. The Bible says men of old, they wrote as they were inspired, as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. There is a certain carrying that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And when you understand this, then you will know that your life is ordered by God. You are not an accident. It is God that causes you to stand. It is God that establishes you, and he knows the steps that are on your way. That's why the Bible says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, the mature sons of God, the heroes. The mature sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. It is God who created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Everything, each and everything that you and I do, is because God prepared it in advance for us to do. I tell you, your future is prepared. That which you're worried about, God has worked it out. That which you're asking about tomorrow, God already knows it. That's why he says, do not worry about tomorrow, about what you shall eat, about what you shall drink, about what you shall wear. The Gentiles run after these things, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You have a Father who knows every single bit of your hair before a single one of them. If any of them falls, your Father knows it. Before a single word is on your mouth, he knows it. He is concerned. That's why we pray to him as a father. You see, your child does not need to ask for everything. There are things you see at your child and you know your child needs maybe to go to the wee-wee. The child needs to go and get something, new clothes. Why? Because you can see as a father. There are things that God sees that you as his child, he desires to give you the best. He desires to bless you. He desires to make a way. And your job is to stay faithful. If you're caused to stand, stand. Don't run away. When the battle day comes, when the day of evil comes, because the day of evil comes to every man, there is a day when the forces of darkness focus on you and they want to pull you down. For Jesus, it was first in the desert, you know, when in the wilderness, when he was being tempted. But then when the devil was defeated, he left him for an opportune time. The opportune time came through the mouth of Peter, and he said, oh, it is not good for you to go at this time. Why should you go and die? And Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. Then he waits for another opportune time. He comes through Judas, and the Bible says Satan entered Judas, and Judas left and went and spoke to the chief priest and asked, how much will you give me if I deliver this man into your hands? Then the devil came again in the Garden of Gethsemane, and where he was trying Jesus. But then Jesus says, my body is weak, but my spirit is willing. But yet he says, if it were willing, Lord, if it were possible to take away this cup, but not my will, but let your will be done. The enemy tried. He finally came at Calvary, at the cross, crucified him. They taunted him, come down from it. Then the final victory was won when he died and he went to the grave. He descended to the lowly parts and he defeated the devil once and for all. The devil is defeated. Now you be caused to stand, be caused to be established, be firm. That is the word that is there. Be firm. Continue. In fact, it says it's not even just about a temporary thing. It's a continuous process. Continue safe and sound. Stay unharmed. Stay ready or prepared. Be of a steadfast mind. Have the quality of one who does not hesitate, one who does not waver. Standing means you're not going to be shaking. You're not going to be going back. You've been caused to stand, so do not waver. Do not go back. The Bible says, "You are not those who look back and are destroyed. Look back unto perdition. He that puts his hand to plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom." What has God asked you to do? Do it. Stand. Be established. Do not waver from left to right. Do not worry. Be the agent that God has asked you to do. And when you stand your ground, you can think of that soldier of David, I think his name is Shammah, who stood in the field of lentils. Everyone ran away, but he stood in the field of lentils. He said, "This harvest is good. I will stand. I will defend it." And he killed 800. He killed a whole army of Philistines just by standing. Even the spear sticking to his hand until he becomes one with it. That is how we are called to stand. My brother, my sister, stand. Not off of your own ability, but because God has caused you to stand. The battle may rage. The waves will rage. The house, you remember the house built on a rock. The winds beat against it. The waves beat against it. The flood rose. But the house built on the rock stood. Be that house. Be established in truth. Be established in the love of God. Be established in the faithfulness of a father that loves you, a father that is concerned for you, a father that knows everything that you need. My brothers, my sisters, God will make you to stand. And you will stand up under every challenge and under every weight of trouble, under every weight of temptation. Why? Because it's given you the ability to lift it up to the glory of God. Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you for your word that you've spoken to us. You're calling us to stand. And I pray that you are the one that has established us. You are the one that caused us to stand. I thank you for the revelation that you want us to be established, to be set as kingdom agents, to be able to influence this world for your glory. And indeed, I pray for direction, I pray for favor, I pray for protection. I pray for the encouragement of your church to be able to know why and they are in the cities, why they are in the world, why they are established, why they are vessels that they shall give you glory. May your name watch over us, provide for our needs, watch over us, protect us, keep and sustain us. May we continually look unto you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Be established and be glorified, O God, in our lives. We honor, we exalt you, and we lift you up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.